Father, we give you praise, we give you worship, we give you adoration, take the glory, take the power, take the dominion forever and ever. Bring on us bread of life. Fill me with life, honey, that I may love for thou restore. Breathe on me, breath of love, breathe on me, fill up with life, honey, that I may love. What thou hast love and do, for thou wilt be, that I may love what thou hast love and do, for thou wilt be. Let me be, Lord, what thou hast loved and be. Praise Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence, even as we interact with your spirit and we chart the word of God. Ask in the mighty name of Jesus that grace will be given unto all to navigate through the pathway of the spirit so that we can know the very thing that is on the mind of God for us in this season. It's a faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Lord, we receive hearing here tonight so that we can hear that which the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto us. Lord, your aim and objective is to build us up and to edify us, is to make us to be all that you want us to be for you. Lord, that same spirit of love, that same spirit that wants to accomplish that which God has desired, let it govern all that we shall be doing on this platform today. As in the mighty name of Jesus, let your grace be evident as you speak into our lives, correcting us, rebuking us, and instructing us in righteousness so that we can be thoroughly punished as we have the good work, be a perfect man and woman of God that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord and Father, for grace is given unto us to walk in divine obedience in this season. As we are making up the standard in the church, you will cause us to hear what your spirit is saying. Give us grace to begin to take your word seriously in this season, that you are not going to compromise your word any longer. That which you demanded, that's what you were really going for. So that we begin to aspire to move to a new level in the spirit and begin to come up either as you are beckoning us to come. Thank you, Lord and Father.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen
and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In a very powerful way, I want to welcome you all to this medium of expression, medium of kingdom expression. It's called the School of Purpose on here. And I believe one way or the other, God must have been having great value for our lives spiritually. And I believe that this is a spiritual platform. It is not an entertainment platform. It is a platform whereby God wants to bring great renewal, change, and transformation onto our lives. On this platform, we minister spiritual things, not carnal things. We minister spiritual things. The Bible says those who minister spiritual things, carnal things should be ministered back unto them. So we minister spiritual things. We are agents of God in this season to help you so that you'll be able to fulfill your destiny. God is putting words in our mouths that can edify you, that can build you up spiritually and make you to attain the height that God wants you to attain in the spirit. So once again, I want to welcome you to the School of Purpose Life. I mean, to the School of Purpose on here. Praise the name of the Lord in a very powerful way. I always say every time we gather together that here we have come to learn the heart of following God. You see, people believe in God going to church, but they've not really learned the acceptable will of the Lord and seek for what is pleasing in His sight. Because we do things at times that don't mean it's pleasing in the sight of the Lord. That's why our goal as a believer is to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We begin to seek the face of the Lord and say, Lord, what is that which is pleasing in your sight? It's not all about what we do, but what is acceptable unto Him. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1, the Bible says, I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, to present yourselves unto God as a living sacrifice. And we move on to say, for this is your reasonable and acceptable service. It shows that it is not every service that is acceptable to God. God is not looking for activity. God is looking for the true act of worship. The Bible says, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him, that we worship Him in spirit. And in truth, God, because God is a spirit, don't ever think that what would be acceptable to an ordinary, mere human folk, that same thing would be acceptable to God. We must always ask Him, what is it that is acceptable in your sight? That's why we are coming on the altar. God is inviting us into His back of the place. God literally wants to kill us spiritually. Glory to God. So that we can come alive into this newness of life. It's because most times people don't really realize that the Word of God kills. It kills some negative instincts in our life so that the real life of God can begin to spring forth. And that is the purpose of this Word. I want you to receive this Word with joy and gladness, because at the end, you know, it will make you to be all that God wanted to be. So we minister spiritual things, and those who are spiritual, they understand the things of the Spirit, because we know it by discernment. We know those things by the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that it's an impartation. The apostolic grace is resting upon all my hearers tonight, because we are not just on this kingdom medium of expression, just by accident. God has brought you for a purpose. And I believe that the key to respond, the key to receive the word of the Lord, God is giving it unto you with meekness, with grasp, the engrafted word. And God will give you grace to grasp the truth of his word tonight in such a way that we're going to move our life forward, not just into a new dimension of work and relationship with God, in the mighty name of Jesus. There's a new series we're going to start today. We'll be calling it Walking in Divine Obedience. Walking in Divine Obedience. Walking in Divine Obedience. With time, we begin to understand this apostolic flow, and we begin to make some adjustments so that we can begin to benefit from the apostolic grace that God has put upon our lives. I believe that it may not be on a systematic basis, but a prophetic, works that God will release into your life, and God giving you spiritual instruction. And as you begin to take into those instructions, according to the word of the Lord, you shall do well in your walk with God. No matter how difficult the challenges are today, no matter how tight it is to walk worthy of the Lord and to walk with him, God is giving grace to some people so that they can walk through the Red Sea as if they are walking on the dry land. And such grace is released unto you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Walking in divine obedience. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's very, very good that we come to the realization of the fact that God has lifted up the standard in the kingdom of God. Right from the days of King Saul, God lifted up the standard when Saul was trying to make sacrifices unto God and disobeying the order and the instruction of God. God said to him, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of people don't really know that things have changed in the spirit. God has changed the order of things in the realm of the spirit. It's not as it used to be. When we step into the New Testament order, things have changed. That's why you must always try to live a life of obedience unto God. It's very easy for us to obey men, but to find it difficult to obey God that we do not see. And the Bible says, the man that obeys God that we do not see, against such man, there is no law. Because God is bringing us to a place whereby we can begin to obey him from the bottom of our heart, following the truth after the inward path. Yea, I use in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 as a text for this series of teaching, walking in divine obedience. Walking in divine obedience. I read from the Message Bible, from verse 3. He said, every time you cross my mind, I break out into exclamations of thanksgiving to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I'm so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day. I'm reading Philippians well. Philippians 2, sorry for that. Philippians chapter 2. Okay. If you've gotten, I read from verse 1 now, Philippians chapter 2. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, I being in a community of the Spirit means anything. If being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then you may take it. Agree with each other. Love each other. The deep spirited friends. Hallelujah. Because, I've come to realize that a lot of people, when they come to the Christendom, they don't often realize that things have changed. It's not, they cannot live their life as they used to live. They cannot afford to do what they used to do before. Because the law in this new kingdom is different from the one they are used to. And this is something that really calls for caution, and every one of us have to be aware of it. I realize today that in the church of Jesus, we need to, no little is being said and being known about the reality of the kingdom of God. But I want to set the record straight. I want you to know you are not just saved in the church. You are saved, you know, to the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, their own Son. The word kingdom, there are two words, king and dominion. In other words, like a king over a domain. And in this new domain, he has his own laws and principles. He has his own standards. And when we run at a refuge of the wind, we have to comply and abide by the rules of this new position that we have found ourselves. And I realize today that most people don't even know that things are changing the spirit, that they have come to a new place. Their lives have really come under a new management. If you want to continue the whole way, even while they are in the new kingdom. And you see, as well as this, when things like this begin to happen, you understand, some people find it very, very difficult, you understand, to make those adjustments. And I believe that God really wants us to make those necessary adjustments in our life. You know, things have to begin to change in our mind. That is why, even after we have been born again, God is still working on our mind. That's a place called renewal of mind. Renewal of mind. Because we are born again, your time, your spirit is regenerated. That does not automatically mean you begin to think like sons of the kingdom. You have to be reorientated. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to change your thinking pattern. You need to grow in awareness of this new reality. You know, when those realities begin to dawn on you, that is when you begin to say you are maturing in the things of God. That's what we call maturity, when your faculties are elevated. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, there are people that have just been, you know, posted to a new location. They have been moved to a new position. But before it really dawned on them that they are not people they were used to be before, they've been elevated. You know, it will take a while. So there's possibility for someone to be picked on the street and say, well, you become the king of your community. And if you want to live the kind of dirty lives and, you know, free life that you used to live when it's on the street, because, you know, it's really difficult to adjust. You know, before it really dawned on me, it's not just when you push the crown on his head and he's sitting on the throne. That's when you begin to realize that, oh, I'm a king, I'm a king. No, there's a way the connection is being done. That's the point when you are connected in your original faculty. That's why we talk so much today in this apostolic community about, you know, elevated faculty. I believe that mature saints, they are men of elevated faculty. Their written faculties have been brought up to a point whereby they can begin to catch up with the new reality of the spirit. You know, when the Bible says you are seated with him in the heavenly places, then you see yourself sitting down here and say, well, what kind of heavenly place are you talking about? Because you don't know the value of your new status and your new position. When the Bible says you are heir of God, you are joint heir with Christ Jesus, it shows you have the same right and access that Jesus has to all that the Father has. Praise the name of the Lord. You want to see that before it begins to dawn on us that things have changed in the spirit. You understand? We will come into this new form of life and not have the capacity to live in the newness of life. That is the place for apostolic teaching. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's why we have to be very, very attentive to what the Spirit of God is saying to us in this season. So that, you know, we begin to have this kind of mental repair. So that it will not just be something that, you know, something that you're just thinking in your mind, but something that has become a reality in your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Paul the Apostle said in this place, if you have a heart, if you care, if you come to realize that you have come to the community of spirit being, you come to Zion, if you've gotten anything all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if this new life means anything to you at all, if it means anything to you, then things got to change. And I pray that things will begin to change in our lives. And I pray that people will begin to testify of the changes that are taking place in our lives. Most times, they're not the ones that say that you have changed. People around you know that it's not the person that they used to know. Things have changed. Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, and he said to them in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I say this to your shame. Many of you do not have the knowledge of God. Why? Because, you know, you are still living, you are still thinking the whole way where God has brought you into a new position in the spirit. And he said to them, get away from righteousness. In other words, live up to expectation. Wake up to your new status and your new position in the spirit, and you will sin no more. Praise the name of the Lord. One of my mentors used to put it this way. He said, well, you see, he said, so, you know, when you realize at a point in your life that you've been released from the prison, and, you know, when you are leaving the prison, he said, you're going to leave off the prison clothes because it's not something you wear on the street. You're a free man. But suddenly, after you left the prison, somebody begin to put the prison clothes on you and begin to use it to decorate. It's not something you use for decorate. It's a thing of shame. Most people that go to prison, you know, they don't want people to know. Most times when you have your wife or you have struggled abroad. He said, well, he went somewhere. He went off for holiday. You know, and I know that you don't want to walk the streets with that kind of prison there. And that is what Jesus has taken off of. And we don't want anybody to speak those things on us any longer. It has become, for us, it has become a thing of shame, a thing of ridicule. And that is what sin is to a believer. That is what the whole life is to a believer. That's why the Bible says, put off the old man, put off the new man. This thing, when you begin to understand this, you will not need anybody to tell you that you have to put off the old man. Because to you, the old man looks so dirty as thinking, is something that must not be seen on you. Because it doesn't fit into this new form of life that you are living. It doesn't really portray you as a true saint of God. And that is, when this reality begins to dawn on you, then you begin to realize that well, it's no longer I that live again, but Christ, that I'm putting on a new man. Glory to God. And you see, because your head has been shaved, because your clothes have been changed, God has clothed you with the garment of righteousness. That's why you can walk boldly. You can walk courageously on the street. Nothing to hide. No skeleton in your cupboard. You don't even have anyone at all. Simply because you've come to the realization of your new status in Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. I cannot pray that this reality will dawn on you. It's going to be the dawn of a new day in your life.
Amen.
You know, the light of God will begin to spring forth in your heart.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe you begin to catch up with this truth of God's word. So Paul was saying to them here, if you really realize what God has brought you into, then if you really care, then you're going to obey this instruction of man. Praise the name of the Lord. And you're going to see a lot of people today, that people, when they come to the church, they still cause trouble. Because they've been a troublemaker all along. All the naughty ideas, all the old ways of time, you know, the cheating, they carry a strong cheating anointing, strong cheating grace. They are hypocritical liars. That's the way they used to live. They're so touchy. They're so frightened. They're so fearful. You know, they don't even have any conscience of the truth of God's word of righteousness within their lives. And you're going to see that those people, because of the corruption of their soul, because they are yet to come to the realization of their new status and their new position, the thing is yet to dawn on them. They just know it by letter. They don't know it by this thing. You're going to realize that it's difficult for them to make adjustments and to change their way of life. Nobody can save them. That's why you're going to see people that you're going to beg them in church, trying to harass them into some things and, you know, encourage them, trying to put them, trying to tell them this and that and that. It's yet to realize its new position and status and know that this new life, that certain things that doesn't defeat this new status of theirs in God. So they cannot live in the newness of life. So I pray that wherever God has positioned you, are not going to be a troublemaker. You are going to be a source of inspiration. You are going to be a blessing. I don't know if you've been in church before. You've seen people. They've been so naughty, deadly. They've been cheaters. They've been people that even when when you look at them facially, their face doesn't even express the reality of a changed man. That is why it's very difficult today to try to judge the outward appearance. You know, sometimes ago, you know, there's someone that, you know, he has this eye problem that his eye is always red. And everybody see, look at him and say, it's a very mean person. Your heart is always red. Or are you on drugs? Or because everybody used to fear him. But this guy has a very gentle and a good heart. He has a niche and a quiet spirit. And that's why you don't look at people on the face value. Paul said, you are the ones that judge by outward appearance. He said, but who those guys mean? He said, who those guys are mean nothing to us. So, you see, it is wrong for us. So, judge by outward appearance in this new form of life. You've got to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Let the Spirit of God tell you who that person is. Praise the name of the Lord. And you're going to see people who are saying that are so mean and they are so deadly, they are ravening wolves on the inside, but they don't appear like someone who can also fly. When you hear deadly things that people do, you say, can this person do anything like that? I don't really think so. I don't think he can do anything like that. You know, we cannot deny those things simply because we are judging on the facial value. So we are not supposed to do that as the believer. So Paul in verse 2 said, do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other and be deep spirited friends. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You're going to see today that even when we are born again, we are in church. We don't really agree with each other. We don't do what we do based on agreement. Everybody, you know, has its own pride and its own ego. Even when you know what that person is doing is right, you understand, but because of your ego, you are not the one that really initiated it. You want to show you that thing doesn't really work. The only thing that can only work is something you initiate by yourself. You know, because all of this is the way we corrupt the promise thing. We corrupt the move of God in our assembly. Just because, you know, we carry a backlog of corruption of the soul into this new form of life. We don't really know the difference. You understand? We think it's life as usual. So things can just continue the same way. No, there must be a break because the day you meet with Christ, you die. So a new life has started that time. Praise the Lord. That is the end of your life. The day you meet Christ. No, the day Christ gave himself unto you, you know, it's over with the whole life. That is how it's supposed to be. And that's how it should be in your life and in my life. So God, you know, Paul was admonishing them here. He said, you know, do me a favor. Agree with each other. Agree with each other. I remember in those days, we used to have campus fellowship, you know, all around the place, and on the campus, we're going to have, you know, the president of campus fellowship and all of those stuff, you know. And we have some elderly people who came from our mother church who are posted to that location. You know, the one at Repoli, you know, Ege, and all of those things, you know, in Osun State, Nigeria. And you know, people there, you know, at a point, we wanted to do this special program. And we now have to allow the students to be able to, you know, to think by themselves, to be able to manage the fellowship on their own, so that we don't keep dictating to them and just try to impose to them that this is the title of the program and all of those things. So that we got to say that all the executives of the fellowship, please meet together. No, and agree on the topic of the next seminar. The guest ministers are invited. So let's agree on those. Let's agree on the date. Let's agree on this. Let's agree on that. You understand? Because you know, Paul was talking about some characters in the New Testament church. He said these are people who love the place of prominence and preeminence. They want to be high. They want to be known. If they are not the one talking, no other person should talk. You know, that's a very bad thing. It's not part of this new life. You know, it's a carryover from the world, and it must be punctured, it must be killed, it must be destroyed. It's a wrong thing that we can destroy the work of God. You know, these guys, you know, I didn't know that there have been a lot of coup going on within the executive. And at the point, you know, those guys could not really come out with, you know, this is the topic you want to have. These are the names of the guest ministers we want to invite. This is the date. You know, and at a point, the man has to, you know, it's like where majority carries the vote. Let's take up a hand. How many of you support that? We do this and all of those things. You know, it's all there. You know, not even, you know, because even when you pray, they're not going to believe in your prayer because everybody has something on their mind. And they could not just agree on the tech minister, on the topic. And because someone, you know, his own opinion was the one that was taken. And you know what? They make sure that they did everything possible to ensure that the program was not successful. But thank God for the spirit of grace, praise the name of the Lord. Just because, you know, it was this person's opinion that was taken. So others were working against it. They said, well, so that day, it will not be convenient for me on that day. They were trying to just place some brands on God because they could not just agree. And I believe that in this is the time for the church to be able to. You know, our agreement is not just going to be something that is sensual, but we've got to begin to agree with the truth of God's word. We've got to begin to live our life in alignment with the truth of God's word. We must agree to do what God says in His word. We are not following any man's opinion. We are not following any man's idea. But if we know that it's what God, what the word of God says, let's agree together and stand with God in standing. Don't let us politicize. You know, Christianity. Don't let us politicize the things of the Spirit of God. Don't let us try to be diplomatic or try to economize the truth. When we know this is the truth, let's stand. We are God is standing. Let's come into agreement. We may not be the one. You understand? Whose opinion is taking? All we want is that we want God to be glorified. You may not be the one to lead the worship. Because you are not going to be the one that will lead the worship that day, you ensure that. You know, that worship time is not interesting and it's not exciting because you cannot agree with other people. It's a very wrong tendency in the heart of a lot of Christians today. You know, if they are the ones, I have seen people who are leading worship. While they are leading worship, they were jumping, everybody pray, everybody sing, don't sit down, sing and do this, and all of those things are so exciting. But tell others to come and lead the worship. They will just be looking at you like they will pose, they will put their hand in their pocket. Then they will not be able to sing. They can say, but you've been a worship leader. Why is that? Why others are singing? You are pocketing. And you're going to see a lot of preachers. They are also like that. If they are not the ones preaching, you know that not any other person is preaching. Even if that person is preaching the truth of God's word, they are looking for faults. They are looking for that person's mistakes. You understand? So Paul is saying something to them here, to the Philippian church. He said, now, if you know that you come to this new form of life, you know, this is a new way of living. He said, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep, spirited. You understand? Don't entertain all these elements of carnality that we see all around the place today. Don't let us just live a life like mere men, ordinary people. When we do what ordinary people do, he said you have to keep marriage, you know, you are gluttony, he said you have preference for some people above others, you are partial, you are judgment, you know, and all of those things. These are the things that are, you know, they are normal to an ordinary woman folk. But the Bible says we are not mere men. Paul said to the Corinthian church, that I cannot talk unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, mere men. Why? Because the same kind of divisions and disagreement that we have in the world is the same one that we have in the church. In Nigeria today, there have been a lot of disagreement in the political arena. Just because some people want their own voice to be heard and to be recognized, they are not seeking the interest of the nation. But since they are not the ones that is there, so things are going to go bad. But as long as they are the ones that are there, they will ensure that things are working out fine. You know, that's a very bad story. And I believe the church should begin to teach the nation. We should not learn from the nation. We have to learn from God and begin to educate our politicians on how to live. That no man should seek his own interest. Because we are not the one that is given that place of providence, you understand, does not mean, you understand, that, you know, that God will not recognize you. There are different parts of the body. In fact, the Bible says the noble parts, they are the ones that are not visible. Glory to God. So you may not have the place of prominence and preeminence, but we love to support each other. Sometimes you see someone who's called to worship, and he has never led a worship before, you understand, in his life, and because he's making some mistakes. So we went to cover that thing up and make sure that we have a very good and wonderful service on that day. But not try to do things that would make his weakness to be exposed. That is not agreement. That is the spirit of disagreement. That is the spirit of division. It's of the devil, it's not of God. It's of the devil. You know, when you see preachers, encourage them.
Don't try to make their phone to be exposed. Cover things up. See how things are going to work out. But agree to make things work out fine. You know, there are people who have a very dangerous spirit. You understand? And if that thing goes unchecked, you understand, it may lead to suicide. Remember the story of one of these counselors of David, you understand, that deflected onto Absalom. You understand? And this guy, Ahithophel, by name, because his counsel was rejected, he said it has never happened before. Then he went ahead to commit suicide. Just because his counsel was rejected. Because your counsel is rejected, you only give advice and counsel. They are not bound to follow your counsel. They are bound to follow the counsel of God. That's why let others lead. Let learn to agree with one another. Love each other. Let be deep-spirited. Let not give in or room to carnality. Show of the truth to the flesh is more or less show of shame in the kingdom. You see, we are parading, you know, the street with prison clothes, with prison dress. You know, that things that are uncomfortable. You see, that's the level of insanity. It's that you don't even know. You say, this is how I want to live. I don't prefer it because it's a very good stuff. This, you know, is a material that is not common. And you're dressed like a prisoner. And you're moving around. No. You don't do a thing like that. If you will not do a thing like that because you are smart and sharp, then you should understand what is defeating for this new form of life. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. My prayer for all our apostolic centers is that there will be men and women who are deep spirited, men who will love each other, men who will agree with each other. We have a common goal, we have a common objective, which is to glorify God. It doesn't even matter who God is using, what is important is that we want God to be glorified. You understand? Don't allow the devil to take advantage of you. And I love the spirit of Paul. You see, this is the spirit we have to begin to look for in the house of God. You know, when he was in prison, when he was slammed, you know, into prison behind the bar, some people were making jest of him. And they want to make his bonds to become more severe. And you know what they do? You understand? They go ahead and begin to slice him. They begin to use him as an example on the crusade ground. And they look at the person that calls himself, you know, a preacher, an apostle. Look at him now. He's behind the bar. Look at him. You don't even know what he has done. I'm not supposed to. They feel that, well, the place that Paul took in the heart of the people, it can be stolen by blackmailing him. But Paul said, well, it doesn't really matter. What is important to me is that the gospel will be preached. I want God to be glorified. You have the gospel. It doesn't matter who God is using. It doesn't matter what they've done, but I pray that this will not be taken against them. I just want God. I'm so glad that God is in this church. And people are saved. Men come to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean, you understand, because people are saved, those people that carry a wrong spirit, they will not be penalized by God. I pray that you are not going to be a bus conductor. In Nigeria, there are bus conductors. Bus conductors will just bring people into the vehicle. Hey, you are going to Lagos, you are going to Podaka, come in. You think you are traveling along with you? No. And by the time you back on the journey, you're back on the journey, you're going to realize that here is the conductor that, you know, brought everyone above to the vessel is gone. He has been dropped. You will not be passed aside in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Paul said, I keep my body, I put it under, so that after I speak to others, I myself will not be hard to step aside. I pray that your walk with God will not be in vain, because you have not called the house of Jacob to seek in the vain. That's why, you know, they will place so much premium on this school of purpose. Because we have to learn, you know, the heart of following God. We have to really know what God really requires from us. It's not just all about activities. It's all about accuracy. God wants us to be accurate, carry a right spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you see the another instruction he gave to them. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Don't show yourself all. It's time to show forth the praise of God. There's a lot of show up going on in the church today. We just want to impress people. You know, it's in fact, I see that the church, most churches today, you know, they just want to impress the society. They just want to impress. You understand? You're not how to impress people. God, no matter how hard you try to impress them, you can only bring them to the realm of man. He said, no man can come to me except the Father draw. God is the one that draws. And there are criteria, there are procedures, there are processes, you understand, that will facilitate the drawing that we are talking about. And I say, a carnal man who's not ready for God will not want to be drawn by God. Praise the name of the Lord. So don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and let and help others get ahead. You say, oh, I pray. Your prayer every day is just to see that God, I want this person to grow. I want him to increase. I want his ministry to be fed up. I just want him to be hard. I want his voice to be hard. He's not even thinking about yourself. Glory to God. How many of you know that Jesus prayed more for his disciples than he prayed for himself? You know, when he was saying to Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Glory to God. Look at a man who has a very critical assignment ahead of him. And that very crucial and critical time of his life, when he invited his friends to come and pray together with him and they will not pray, Jesus was still praying for them. Because we don't even know we are praying for Peter. But said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He shows that he set some time aside to pray for this guy. I want us to begin to have this kind of culture. We pray so much to pray a lot for ourselves, but we don't want to pray for one another. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we should pray all manner of prayer. We should pray in the Spirit for all saints. Most times, you know, we pray for we are cumbered with needs of life. You understand? We are overwhelmed by our own personal daily desire. We are interested in what we can get from God. But we never take time to pray for the saints, to pray for the body of Christ, to pray for other people to get ahead, to pray for other people to understand the things of the Spirit, to pray those for me prayer, to be creepy, to prophesy over the life of other people. You know, always think about how others will get ahead, how others will fulfill their goal and their destiny in life. And now, Brother Parker, a very powerful apostle of Jesus. These are notable apostles, you know, but, you know, but they are not looking for reputation with men. He said, Epaphras, your fellow brother, he said, who rests you day and night that you will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? And when God was recommending Timothy, you know, Paul was recommending Timothy, he said, I have no one like him. The man who always seeks the welfare, he has a new concern for the welfare of others. He said, all men seek their home. You know, we have a lot of bodies in our life today. It's all about ourselves. That's why we are getting it wrong. You need to be free from yourself so that you can be released to the service of God. You need to be free from yourself. God is giving an instruction here. And you've got to obey God's instruction. God said, these are instructions in writing. Most times, you know, we need this spiritual therapy in our life so that we don't go to the hospital. A lot of us, you know, we're going to end up in the hospital bed, we're going to end up there, we will not find ourselves. Why? Because we have flouted the order and the instruction of God. Simple instruction. You know, in our place, in Nigeria, you understand, there's an adage that says that, you know, if you need to sacrifice, used to say, you know, the person that will not die, or something like that. You know, just little things that God says to us. So why not keep thinking today about how others will get ahead and stop thinking about yourself? Then you're going to see that in yourself, you understand, you know, those problems, and there are no problems. Why not reduce it to nothing? I read the story of a man who died, you know, of cancer. And he became so miserable because a lot of, you know, about two or three children were left behind, and now we have to take care of those children. You understand? And he was living, you know, in great bitterness of soul. He was so sorrowful. He was depressed. And, you know, he had even gotten to a depression level. The every time you always think about the problem, how he's going to take care of the children, how he's going to take care of the, you know, of what the wife left behind, the responsibility of the home, and how we have life start from, and all. Why thinking about that? You understand? God showed you one day. I want to take you out of yourself. Now you have to begin to see other people, you understand, who stand the risk of being blamed by the same kind of receipt. Now you'll go out there and see millions of people, you understand, that who stand the risk, understand, of having cancer because there is no one to tell them these are the necessary precautions that you have to take. Now go and start an NGO, go and start a foundation. And keep telling people, you know, how they're going to do church on themselves, how they're going to do this, how they're going to do this, how they're going to do this. He said, man, he said, that is my word, that is my deliverance. He said, I stopped living in my own world and started living in the world of freedom that God has created for me. He said, now, when I keep thinking about people who stand in risk of this dangerous disease, this destructive disease, and I see God using it to save lives, he said, no, I said, there's no better thing to live for. And this for me, that is the way Jesus lived his life. Not to save himself, but to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the moment we start seeking our home, the more we remain in chains. That is one way we try to strengthen the chains of the adversary and bondage in our life as a believer. God said, get out of yourself. Stop thinking about others. Stop thinking about the welfare of others. To the extent that the devil will come back to you and say, you're an idiot. You know, when you start thinking about your own, when you, there's someone who is thinking about your own, when you start thinking about others, when you start thinking about the food, the Bible says God will take care of your own. I know that God is watching your back for you. If you obey the instruction of God and you will learn to walk according to the order of God, I tell you, peace will be all around your habitation. God will bring peace around all your habitation. If you are sick in your body, God will heal you. If you are bothering, you are sorrowful, and you are depressed, you are having mental depression, I will release the word of God into your life today. Grace be given unto you to be able to come out of yourself and come into the position that God has created for you. That is the place of freedom. It's not all about you. It's all about what God wants to use you to do in the life of others. That is why in our lives, we must always have this kingdom culture of not placing our own personal desire and natural needs above God's desire and God's plan and purpose for our lives. When you learn to put God where he belongs in your life, the devil will not have a good day in your life. And I know we are blocking all of those access routes by the power of the word of God.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will continue to access your life. The devil will not be able to access your life.
Amen.
You are becoming inaccessible to the adversary. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. So, other you, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the front. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. I want you to go out this week. I said, God, who are the people I can help? Who are the people I can help? Stop just thinking about yourself. Help others to get ahead. Some of you, we need to call on your friends. We need to call on some of your family members. We need to, what are you doing now? What, you know, how can I help you? How can I be of help? You need to think about how your church is going to get ahead. Don't just think about yourself. When we come to the church, we are just thinking about what we can take from the church. We are not always thinking about what we can contribute, what we can give, what where we can be of help, how we are going to make the work to really move fast and move on. You understand? Let's stop thinking about what to take. Let's start thinking about what to keep. The Bible says it is more blessed to keep than to receive. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend helping hand. You know, let people begin to go, oh, you don't feed this. You know, I have this for myself. You see, that's why the form of life that God wants us to live in the church, that's why when people come into our midst, we don't need to put signposts in front of our church. When they come in and they see all of this, they say, hey, man, these are obedient children of God. Why? Because the obedience of one man has brought us to this form of life we are talking about. And the reason why you obey God, you know, is so that God can impart that same spirit into us. So that the love of God can fill our hearts and we can learn to begin to trust God with our life and now follow him as obedient children. Praise the Lord. Because if you cannot trust God with your life, it will be difficult for you to walk in obedience. That's why we used to sing from the whole hymns, you know, and say trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy. Because, you know, the problem that most of us have is we cannot trust God with our life. How will I abandon my own thing? How will I then I'll begin to think about others? And trust God with your life. God said, you know, he said, foxes have holes, both of the hair have their nets. He said, those grass and all of those things, God, and the dogs of the air, God keeps them, God take care of them. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't be, forget yourself to your mind. Trust God, he's the great shepherd of the sheep. Glory to God. The shepherd of your soul. If you learn to trust the shepherd of your soul, he will guide you aright. The Bible says, if his death can save us from our sins, how much more is life to save us from the wrath to come? Let's not follow the leading of God for our life. Let's keep following him. Let's keep walking in the path of life. You know, it may appear as if it's the path of death, God is surprising us on some things, denying us some things. You know, we are being, you know, people consider us as a less privilege and all of those things. But that doesn't really matter. We're walking in the path of life. Glory to God. He has invited us to walk in this path of life. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. If it's not given to you, are you ready to say bye-bye? Let's forget it. What you expect yourself. Most likely the fact you expect something and the thing doesn't even come that way. But don't be afraid. Don't try to just want to have your way. So that when people come into our ministry as a church, our church people, you understand? We don't need to speak in tongues to impress them. We don't need people need big families today. Speak of the Lord. They want to see come to the assembly of the people of God. That's why we talk about the apostolic community. When you come to the apostolic community, you see, our way of life is disciples. We have the ability that the people read. When they see, they say, God, look at people who are always thinking about others. People are not seeking their own interest, thinking about how others will get ahead in life. They are not obsessed about having their own way. We need, you understand, to perfect this technology in the church so that we can transfer the technology to the world, so that we can begin to borrow their wisdom in the political arena. Don't be upset. This is not your call. This time to be your call another time. And God, who divides everything separately, he knows what he's doing. He's determined the placement. You know, he will not give you a chance to say, well, this is what I want. This is where I want. He placed it to where he chose. And we are contented with the placement of God upon our lives. Let's learn to celebrate each other. So that when people come to the assembly of the people of God, they can see that, oh, these are God's obedient children. We are not the ones that will tell them that this is who we are. You know, in Antioch, the Christians were first recognized as Christians because of their way of life, because of their character, because of this, they have embraced the form of life. They have put off the old man. They said, no, the devil cannot continue to put that stigma of sin and corruption over our life any longer.
Amen.
Let us learn. Let us forget yourself long enough to learn in every hand. Listen to me. As long as you are still mindful of yourself, oh, listen to me. You are not going to learn every hand to another person. You are always thinking about how the thing will come to your, you know, to everything. That everybody will be worshiping you. How you are going to make gain out of it. How it's going to be to your advantage. Don't always think about personal advantage. You see, you must be ready to be used by others. Glory to God. Let it enclose. You know, that's the reason. That is what is killing the work of God today. Just because, you understand, somebody wants to lend a helping hand. You will see things falling apart and you're not going to fix it. You're not going to do anything. I read a material sometimes ago and a boss said, well, the way I know, you know, those people who have the two spirits in my, you know, in my establishment is this. He said, when I come very early in the morning, after the stress of things, and now you start to fix it, you know, sheet of paper. He said, now, I'm going to see in some of them, they're going to look at that thing, and by chance that thing, they pretend as if they are not seeing it. Because it is not, they are not the messenger that used to claim the place. So as long as they are not the messenger, they should not teach the rough sheet of paper. You see, in the kingdom of God, we must all be ready to roll our sleeves. Jesus Christ, he put on his outward garment. He put on, you know, he wrapped himself with a towel. He bent down and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he told his disciples, he said, when you do these things, then you are blessed. Blessings come when you are ready to roll your sleeves and ready for service. Forget yourself. Forget about your status. Forget about your position. Forget about that. It is healing that God is bringing to you tonight. God is healing someone at this frequency. God is healing someone. God is healing someone. He said, my stripes are healed. God is healing someone. The devil will not be able to run you down. The devil will not be able to run you mad because you have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The devil cannot take this away from you. That is the new way of life that you have embraced. That's the way you have chosen to live your life. That has become healing in your bones, healing in your veins, healing in your marrow. You have a healthy spirit. When you have a healthy spirit, listen to me, it's very easy for you to live a healthy life. Let us release all of those things from our system today. Those wrong thinking. Will I be the one having that other person? Will I be the one serving that other person? Will I be the one serving that other person? Me, I cannot serve other person. I've been born again before God born again. I said, I'm going to start a church. I'm going to be the one serving him. He cannot be richer than me. He cannot be better than me. He cannot, you know, be part in the ministry. You know, I'll listen. He said, forget about yourself. Forget about who you are. Are you ready to slay the wind? That is the life of obedience that God is calling us. That's what we call divine obedience. But I'm studying all these scriptures. Glory to God. And see what God is calling us. Let's know what this is, what the man is church. It is not like keyboard. It is not like set drums. It is not, you know, the architecturally designed cathedral that defines the church. This is what defines the church. So that if someone who don't know God, when they enter into the church, they say, oh God, this is different. This is different. They see the way we are teaching each other. They see the way everyone is going around in our church in Nigeria. I say, God is going to raise people who will go into the parliament. God is going to raise people who will be governor of a state. God is going to raise people who become president of a nation. But when you are coming to this place on Sunday, don't come blowing sari. Come to this place if you are an usher before God elevated you and you become a parliamentarian. Then come on Sunday, come and do the usher. Welcome people like an average believer. Praise the Lord alone. Because all of those things does not really matter in the kingdom of God. It only matter in the world of matter. And when you humble yourself, God himself knows how to elevate you in life. And you are due for that elevation. And if you come in this season, men may look down on you, they may take advantage of you. No, the reason why we don't want to do some of those things is not because we don't, what do people think about the wounded thing that? Jesus, said, before he bent down and was disciples, he looked at where he was coming from and where he was going. He said, nothing is missing. It doesn't have to, it doesn't reduce me. It only adds to my value. Glory to God. It doesn't reduce me. There are times, most times, you know, just to help someone to come and clean the church, to fix things, and all of those. I see a lot of people who go to church and just come on Sunday and just see that they don't want to care how things have been done. They don't want to care how bills have been paid. They don't want to care. They don't want to know anything. Just see that, receive the word of God. They pray. They, you know, they begin to behave somehow funny, such those religious ways that people behave. You know, they are not Christians. If you want to be a Christian, go to the Bible and ask yourself, what is the definition of Christianity? What does it mean to step into this new form of life? And say, this is the life God has designed me to lead. And if you are not even there today, begin to aspire to get to that place. The purpose of this teaching is so that you can begin to aspire to scare up something in us. And say, Lord, this is the life you want me to lead. This is the life you want me to lead. If you will look for the word of God that will encourage and facilitate this form of life. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, number five, verse 5 says, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of deity and took on the status of his slave, became woman. Having become woman, he stayed woman. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges instead. He lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. And what kind of death? At that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. Listen to me. If you want to have control in the spirit, then learn obedience.
Amen.
Then learn obedience. When your obedience is complete, then God can use you as a mouthpiece of peace to begin to judge the disobedience in the world. Glory to God. The next thing that God has promised is coming to your life. As we begin to go through this series of teaching, some of us, we begin to see God begin to bring us from the lowly place and begin to set our feet on the rock of Spain. We begin to sit among the nobles in the land.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Your voice in the heart.
Amen.
God is imparting upon our life territorial anointing.
Amen.
Because we are people of obedience. We are obedient children of God. We are baptized into the kingdom of obedience. Jesus was obedient. Our Father was obedient. Our Savior is an obedient, was obedient to the Father. Because of his obedience, you and I, we are where we are today. So we are due for listening in our life. It's not just, you know, natural listening. It's going to be spiritual listening. He lifted up the poor from the dungeon to save among the nobles. If you learn to master this art of obedience in your life, you're going to see God lifting you up. You understand? From that, don't hear, and you begin to sit among the nobles in the land. If Joseph had not walked in obedience to God, he wouldn't have walked into where he got to in life, and he became the prime minister in a strange land. There's nothing that our God cannot do. Trust and obey. Those things will fall apart. If I trust my life in his hands, if you ever say, be careful for nothing. Trust God with your life. Your life is saved in his hands. If he can save you by his life, then, this will mean your life is safe in his hand.
Amen.
He said, who then shall bring any charge against God's elect? No one. Is it Christ that died for you? The one who died for you, you can be sure that your life is secure in his hand. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust You're not going to be happy by somebody laying hands on you. But you're going to burst into that dimension of joy unspeakable, full of glory. Even where not seen, yet you believe, trust God with your life. Then you can now obey him. You follow the shepherd of your soul. The shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be his in the quiet pasture.
Yes.
Wherever you may lead, I will go. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy than to trust and obey. I talk about your life today. You are moving to a new dimension in the spirit. God is adding value to your life.
Amen.
It's a new day. It's a new beginning in your life.
Amen.
It's your season of lifting. It's your season of elevation.
Amen.
You shall speak a word, and that word is decreed from your mouth. You begin to create a kind of devastation in the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
God will begin to testify of you, and God will begin to elevate you and honor you in the sight of other men. David said, before these people have restored myself, and you think that I'm trying to dishonor myself. No. He said, I know what I'm doing, not like the days of your father. He said, before these people, God will in turn begin to honor me in their sight. Whatever thing God has called you to do today, and people say you are stupid, and you are even saying to yourself, am I not stupid? You're not stupid, you're on the right path. Because the way of the Lord is different from the way of man. And God will not leave you with the path that is the path. It's not what you are thinking. Because if you want God to lead you the way you are thinking, because he contrasts your thoughts, that's the reason why you don't want to go at times. But this season, you're saying, Lord, I'm your way. Although it is different from what my expectation, what I was thinking in my mind. But I know that when I follow the thoughts of God for my life, then I'll be clear. Don't forget the story of that leper man, Naaman. Because he thought, he already had a fear. This is what God will do. He said, no, God, it's not what you are thinking in your mind. And that young girl told him. He said, if he had told you to do one big thing, would you have done it? God is not calling you to do one big thing. He has called you to a life of obedience. So obedience is better than sacrifice. Every spirit of stubbornness of heart, every spirit of witchcraft in our life is broken in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every demonic and satanic manipulation of our life, every spirit of set will is destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now your will is set in alignment with the will of God.
Amen.
I speak healing into your life. I speak healing to your home. I command that every tissue and every organ of your body will begin to function in the perfection. We already know. I say that it will function in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you have any people that disagree with and you know they are walking in the righteous path, but because of your pride and ego, you have to let them, you need to call them tonight and say, no, I disagree with you just because of my ego, just because of my personal interest. If there are people you need to keep every hand to, you go all out today and begin to practicalize this word of God. But because it's not enough for you to hear the word of God, because God only blesses the doers of the work, not the hearers that are justified, but the doers of the work. As you begin to do the word of the Lord, God will begin to do and perfect all that concerns you in the mighty name of Jesus. Looking forward to speak to you guys at this same time by the grace of God next week, Wednesday. God bless you. Shalom. Live in peace. Trust and obey. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, not a shadow can rise, nor a cloud in the skies. For a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we're trust and obey. Let us trust and obey. me happy in Jesus, for to trust and obey, not a burden with you, not a sorrow with you, but a toil he doth richly repay. No, I grieve for a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed is with trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be in Jesus, for to trust and obey. But we never can prove that the light of his love, until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, and for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side either way. What he says, we'll do. Where he says, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Love with trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, for to trust and obey. Father, we receive your word from your servant tonight. We yield our lives unto you, O God, indeed as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto you. Lord, we embrace the grace of divine obedience tonight. Lord, therefore, that our trust in you is expressed through our obedience in actioning and in doing that which you have prescribed, that which you have instructed, that which you have decreed, that which you have commanded, and that which you have declared. Therefore, tonight, in the marketplace, on the upfront, in our churches, in all that we do, Lord, we decree and declare that every prevailer, like a desire before you, and say, Lord, here I am, send me. That we will go for you based on trust, we will go for you because we love, that we will go to where you have sent us because, Lord, we believe in the God who has called us. Lord, therefore, in any area where we have gone for ourselves, where we have gone to please men, where we have gone to be like the Joneses, where we have gone because of selfish and self-centeredness, our motives have been contrary to going because we are willing to be obedient to you. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us tonight, and the great grace is given unto each and every one under the sound of my voice tonight to come back into the alignment to your word, to your ways, and to your will. Thank you for your servant, Pastor Drew, that you have used tonight. Lord, we ask for a double portion of your anointing, an increase in the unction to continue to declare the apostolic speech representing what you have commanded us to do and bringing the church and the word of Christ into divine alignment to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you for this platform that you have made available to us, the Preventers Church Network, to serve not just the church, the local church, but to be your voice to the nation. We give you praise, our God. Thank you for this transforming power of your word. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.